Okay, well, I understand there are seven or eight questions. We won't have time for all of them, but you guys can put the first question up on the screen, can you? So are there any other non-biblical sources that refer to the resurrection or the consequences of the resurrection?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, there are. I mean, we don't get another... we do get later sources in some of these sort of alleged Gospels that were written much later, like the Gospel of Peter. But those, I think, we do have to take with quite a dose of salt, because they have embellished these stories no end and were written much, much later. So whilst they might have something to tell us, they can't... Basically, I'll put it like this. Our best historical sources are the Gospels, and there's general consensus on that amongst historians. If we want to get to the facts of the matter, the best sources we have for finding out about Jesus are the four Gospels. Even the skeptics will acknowledge that. But in terms of other sources, yes, we find that what happens is the Christians go out into the world and they start proclaiming this message. And this is mocked. This idea of worshipping a crucified Messiah is mocked by people in the Roman Empire, because this is just craziness. To worship somebody who's been crucified. Being crucified was just something you didn't even mention in polite society. Either in a Roman context or a Jewish context, and yet the Christians were worshipping Jesus as this resurrected Messiah. So yes, there are other sources that relate to the consequences of this as the Christian movement spreads out. But in terms of going back to the original sources, the Gospels are our best sources.
Next question. Why would God ask me to base my entire belief system on such a technical, historical argument about a remote event? Why is history so important to Christians?
Okay, great, yeah. I mean... Well, let me take the last bit first. Why is it so important? Well, it's so important because if this event actually occurred, everything hinges on this. And this is what the apostles go out telling people about events that have occurred. It's not just some great idea. It's about something that's actually occurred. I would like to look at this as a positive, right? Because the Christian faith is testable. If you go to some other belief system, you'll have to weigh it up on its merits, but it's a matter of opinion, whether you like it, whether you don't. The Christian faith is testable, and you can go and look at the evidence. Now, let me take the first bit about it being so technical. Well, I'm not sure it is so technical. We get back to some core facts that are very well established about an empty tomb. There's nothing miraculous about that. People believing they had seen Jesus after the crucifixion. Nothing miraculous of that in and of itself. But once we start to put the evidence together, actually, I think a very plausible, a very strong case can be made for the resurrection. Now, let me also just say one final thing about this. There are two different avenues, if you like, that we can go about this. One is in terms of our personal experience. And I think we can evaluate Christianity by looking into it, looking at what it says about our lives, about its transforming power and how it meets our needs, how it meets our human condition, about how we have turned away from God and God provides a way back. And we can look at that aspect of it. And all I would say is that this historical evidence is very consistent with that. And overall, I think, gives us a very strong case for believing in this.
Thanks, David. Next question. What if Jesus had only fainted and not died? That's the theory of...
This was popular a long time ago when people started coming up with ideas that would try to explain away, if you like, the accounts of the resurrection in the Gospels. But this idea that Jesus, the sort of swoon theory... it came to a very dramatic end with one book, a book written by a historian who was very critical overall about the Gospels. But David Friedrich Strauss wrote this book, and he put this idea to a straight end. And he said, look, how could anybody believe this? That somebody who was almost dead and had been buried somehow... just about escaped death, despite the fact that he'd been crucified by the Romans, who were expert in killing people, no question about that, by crucifixion. And here he is, half dead in a cold tomb in desperate need of, if he had somehow survived, which nobody believes for a start, in desperate need of medical attention. And somehow he manages to persuade people that he's the risen Son of God. He says, this is ridiculous. Nobody can believe that. And now nobody does. No historian will believe that. It's far too implausible. And if we even add to that, the idea that Jesus, of all people, was involved in a conspiracy, it's just not on the agenda.
Next one. In relation to historical fact, does God leave a gap that can only be filled by faith?
Well, here I think we need to be careful about what faith means. Faith is sometimes portrayed as believing something for which there's no evidence. There's a very popular view of faith that's out there. You'll find it in various atheistic writings and so forth. It's not the Christian view of faith. Faith, I would say, is rather trusting in God. It's a personal commitment, like trusting in your, in my case, trusting in my wife or trusting in a friend. That's what faith is about. Now, how does that relate to the historical facts? Well, I would say that what we can do is look at the historical evidence and see, does this make sense? We won't be able to prove it to be true, but we can't prove anything in history or science or anywhere else in our personal lives. What we've got to do is look at whether it makes sense. Look at the evidence, and I would say when we do that, it makes a very strong case. Faith, then, is whether we're prepared to act on that. Okay. The illustration I would give is walking across a rope bridge. You could weigh it all up and say, is this safe? And you might convince yourself, you might have somebody who's an engineer who will check it all out and say, yeah, this is fine. The evidence tells you it's okay, but you've still got to walk across. And that requires, that's exercising faith or trust. And it's like that here as well.
Next question. Did other Greek religious groups not have individuals who rose from the dead on the third day? So were there other legends similar to what we've heard?
There were some other legends within Greek culture. Different religions had this idea of gods who died and rose again. But when you go and you look at these groups, what you find is that these are not historical. Okay, these were pagan myths which were not, they weren't even believed or intended to be related to real historical characters. In the vast majority of cases, these were related to people, related to the, not to people, but to the natural cycle of life and birth that we see in nature. And so people had turned this into a sort of religious system where they talked about dying and rising gods. But these gods were not people like Jesus who had come to earth and lived as human beings. They were rather mythical creations and weren't taken as historical. And furthermore, actually, when the historians have looked at this, they've said that actually a lot of these myths really embraced some of these ideas about resurrection after Christianity got started. They were losing people to Christianity, and so they started adding these ideas about resurrections to their beliefs in order to make them more plausible, given the success of Christianity.
How many more questions have we got? Three? Okay. Well, can you deal with another three, do you think, David? We're firing them at you at a rapid rate, and you're responding brilliantly. So
it depends what they are.
Okay, let's have the next one. Is it possible to be a Christian but believe in a spiritual resurrection only?
I think the answer to that is to go back and look at these texts. Look at what the Gospels are saying. Look at what Paul is saying. One of the things I didn't mention on the way past is when the women go to the tomb, what they're told is, he is not here, he has risen. Go and see the place where he lay. Now, he's not here, he's risen. The body's not in the tomb. I mean, that's the claim. You can't believe he's risen if the body's in the tomb, is what it's saying. And here's the place where he lay. This is where he was, but he's not here now. I mean, this is what the Gospels are telling us. Paul is telling us the same thing. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. So if it's only a spiritual resurrection, well, that's what people believed in anyway. That wouldn't have been so radical. That wouldn't have been so controversial. And that's not the claim the Christians were making. And so when people make this kind of claim about a spiritual resurrection, I wish they would just say, look, Christianity's false. Why not be honest about it? If you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, wouldn't you be better just to reject Christianity than somehow pretend that you could still accept it? So, no, I think the New Testament is very clearly stating that it's a physical, bodily resurrection. That's what we believe.
We will take just one last question. Our time's beating us, so if we can have that on the screen. Everything in my experience says that resurrection does not happen. Why should I believe something so alien to my own experience of life?
That's a terrific question, and if we'll sort of finish up at about 9 o'clock.
Well,
if that's okay.
Breakfast will be served. Yeah.
it's a wonderful question. I think that is the difficulty for a lot of us. This is not part of our experience. Resurrections don't happen all the time. I've never observed one. I suspect you haven't either. Why should we believe it? This brings up the whole issue of when it would ever be reasonable to believe that a miracle had occurred. And some people think that it would never be reasonable to believe that a miracle had occurred because they don't normally happen, because they don't fit in with science or whatever. Interestingly, this idea that we can just rule out something because it doesn't fit in with our experience is now rejected by the best atheists who look at arguments relating to miracles. Okay? Not because they believe miracles have occurred, but because they'll say, you can't rule out a miracle in principle. Some people have made that mistake of thinking that science rules them out or that our experience rules them out. But as Paul said, as I mentioned earlier, if there is a God, of course he could do such a thing. And what these atheist philosophers are saying is you can't rule it out in principle. What you've got to do is look at the evidence. Now, within science, there are loads of things without outside our experience, things that you would never dream of believing, except that the evidence is there. All sorts of things that to our minds just sound crazy, and yet when we look at the evidence, it tells us that it's true. The evidence is something that we can't ignore. And so my simple comment on this would be twofold. First of all, don't rule it out just because you haven't experienced what we're talking about. Okay? That's not good grounds to rule it out. And related to that, you've got to look at the evidence. And if that's where the evidence points, you should believe it, whether it fits with your experience or not. Just as we do in science, I think the same thing applies here. Let me finish with one final point on that, though. The reality of this is such that it will have a transforming effect on your experience, as it did for the early disciples, people who were afraid, people who had given up, people who now believe Jesus wasn't the Messiah. They were changed. And many of them ended up going to their death. Why? Something happened. Something transformed them, and that transforming power can change our experience too.
Thank you, David. Well, first of all, can I thank you, the audience, tonight? These questions weren't pre-prepared. David hasn't had sight of them. I haven't. Thank you very much and I'm sorry for those we didn't get to. And secondly, to thank David, this has been a terrific demonstration of apologetics. Someone was asking me the other day, what is apologetics? Well, you've seen David perform the art of apologetics. Thank you for being so succinct in your answers and allowing us to get through so many. And please stay and have a cup of coffee and recover. And the same invitation applies to the rest of you. Maybe just express our appreciation of David. Thank you.